Daily Indignation. God is a righteous judge and a God who is angry every day. Psalm 7, verse 11. In our human imagination, indignation is never a daily occurrence, for we see the indignant human being only in his explosions of indignation, and these are always occurrences, historical moments. Behind those outbursts of our human indignation lies the flaming fire of our passions, our aversions, and our anger. Yet, according to us, that inward fire is not always burning. The indignation of man cannot be called a daily occurrence, according to the perception of the outsider, but neither to the perception of the indignant man himself. And we actually do not even know what our indignation really is. Ask the psychologists about it, and you will find that they themselves greatly disagree with each other about this matter. But what about the Lord our God? In his infinite depth, he is indignant every day. Just as all his virtues are from all eternity, virtues of every day. And just as it can be said of all the depths of his existence, that they know no variation nor shadow of turning, and just as the maintaining of himself is always there, the maintaining that also in the fire of his indignation turns to himself, to the holy angels, and to all that is God, and all that is not God, so God is a terrible God, because his indignation is present every day, because he is of every day. Satan, indeed, of him it is written that he is greatly indignant, knowing that he has but a short time. For in the end, Satan also is only a creature, and though as a creature he is bound to some very different categories than us, also when he appears in time, he cannot possibly place himself above it, nor can he release himself from it. His process of indignation is not for, nor above, nor independent of history and its processes. There's a footnote here. This, however, does not deny the fact that indignation can sometimes mean in Scripture an evidence of indignation, also when the indignation of God is mentioned, as in Revelation 15, verse 1. Yet our God, who appears with all his virtues in time, and also in his indignation throws himself into the commotion of all time, is still not dependent on time. Thus his indignation is not a mere daily occurrence. Oh no, it is daily indignation. Never has the designation daily been used as seriously as here. For everything that of the earth is earthly is going up and down with time. That applies even to what we call the laws of nature. For even those cannot be detached from history, from what happens in our days. But when God, who created our days, and who stands above history, and ordained everything in subjection to his law, when this God acts in all the days of history with the virtue, here with the virtue of being indignant, which he lifts every day above the law of going up and down, then we are confronted with something that we would call daily occurrences, which yet is the opposite of what we usually call derogatively daily occurrences. For then the something that is quite different, the miracle, that is what we will call it from our point of view, has become the ordinary. Magor missabib. Fear is on every side. Daily occurrences are here the miracle, and the miracle, the daily occurrences. Here the indignation is divine, and because of that, it is a daily occurrence. Fear is on every side. That daily indignation now brings us into terrible realities. First of all, there is the difficulty that regular daily occurrences can hardly attract our attention. There are difficult questions here which a wise man could discuss, but we will not deal with them right now. Our perception, our natural attention, will only be alerted to processes and happenings that are not daily occurrences. Or perhaps it is better to say, to a phenomenon that has something that is not of every day. It is not something that varies, changes, or goes up and down. And only then, science or an investigating spirit will proceed from the not everyday occurrences to the daily things, from the explosion to the hidden furnace, to the shining appearance of the daily law. But what can we begin to do in faith, and how will we awaken to God and stand up from the dead, if we have to live from science or from thinking and philosophizing? If God's indignation was not a continuous daily occurrence, we would indeed be awfully disturbed. We would view that indignation as a romantic thing, and in that way we would overcome indignation. We would do that so triumphantly and be so interested in it that even of the judgment day we would first write a novel and after that make a movie, if at least there was time left for us to do that. But now that God's indignation is in this entirely particular sense a continuous daily occurrence, now it is not possible for reason, but only for faith, to know it, and only the believing man can be overcome by it. That is first indeed. God's indignation is a daily occurrence. Consider this now for half an hour, and think of the difference between reason and faith. You will then reach the conclusion that only the regenerate man can fear God's indignation as God's indignation. That is indeed the first difficulty that the words of this psalm lay upon our shoulders. Ah, how severely can the psalm sing and communicate? And now comes the second difficulty. The difficulty not only to reach knowledge, but also to work with the knowledge of God's indignation. Who understands the power of thy wrath, when thy vengeance meets us on our path? Who understands the woes of all who fear thee? Why burns thy wrath against those who revere thee? Indeed, who understands all this? Who fears that justice? Our indignation lays certain accents in the contents of our knowledge about work, man, things, and the history that arouses our indignation, and shovels those accents around. On the one we lay all the emphasis, and the other we neglect. And in that laying and shoveling around of the accents, we show that our indignation is not only unjust and a sinful self-maintaining of the sinner in his sin, but also that it does not appear to be a daily occurrence, for it is a motion, a thing that goes up and down. God's indignation, however, does not lay down any accents, and neither shovels them around. He has never done anything in judgment and condemnation without the will to what we call common grace. But immediately over against that is the fact that he never has done anything, never given any praise, never laid any blessing, never generated any child, never heard any prayer, never allowed any of his children to flourish and increase in time of eternity without the maintaining of the common judgment, that necessary appendix to the doctrine of common grace. For it is the time that judgment starts at the house of God. My God is angry every day, indeed, every day. Now I know, even though I do not understand the depth of it, that he experiences the depth of judgment day when the sun is shining and the heavens laugh, and that he desires it and sees it. For I know that he already at the alpha of my stammering confession speaks the omega of his opening of the book at the last day. And the alpha and the omega cannot be separated in him. Am I the last son? But I feel it now. He is not so much angry at me because I waste my goods with harlots, or, in his judgment, soon will eat the pots of swine and wear rags, but that he is also indignant when I sat at the festive meal, I, the last son, when I played with my oldest brother in father's backyard. For scripture says that he who is abhorred by the Lord will fall into the bosom of the immoral woman. Indeed, it is very terrible, the daily indignation. And yet only this God is my salvation. Only in such a God can my soul find support. Indeed, it is clear, as was said earlier, that God's indignation is very terrible, because it is a continuous daily occurrence. It causes but very little commotion as everything else that is happening daily. And since it frightens only so very little, that is why it is so terrible. For indeed, to tremble before the indignation is a necessity of my life. And yet, let us say it once again, yet, this God is now the only one to whom we can entrust ourselves, to whom we can say, Thou art my salvation. This is the God whose indignation is a daily occurrence. To comfort the soul, there is first of all this, God is a just judge. Every other judge lays and shovels the accents around. God does not place any accents. He does not underline anything. He does not place any hateful exclamation marks. Indeed, he does that in his books of Revelation, but we are now talking about his own books, about the books which he only reads to himself, while he also wrote them only for himself. In the books of his pure indignation, in which he is not teaching us, but makes known to himself what he understood his eyes to see, in those books he writes everything with an equally severe tone. Foolish people call that monotonous, but God says that this is only the right tone, that everything is brilliant and even of tone. He sees everything in every indivisible moment of all people, and he has in this view no shadow against any light. The complete God is with the complete man, and he is that also in indignation. And the complete man is involved in him, in the complete manhood, also in the indignation. And the complete manhood is involved in him, in all of the cosmos, and there are never any cases, abstract or isolated in God's eyes. Neither has there ever been something in his memory as incidental, for his indignation is one. It is daily, undivided, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Now I see around me only judges, judges and judges, and they all work with accents and exclamation marks. They have their perception of me and of my case, and plead upon extenuating or aggravating circumstances, and construct my case, saying of their completed puzzle, "This is his image." They construct it, and exactly that is the problem, even when I get out unharmed. Indeed, I see judges, and I see them thus. But I have one judge who is my joy, as soon as I believe him, and does know in that daily indignation, even when I am unfortunate in a covenantal judgment, that I have one who sees me, knows me, weighs me, and remembers me, and not only my case. I go to him, and because I find it now the most simple thing in the world, I say, Let me not fall into the hands of men, but let me fall into thy hands. But while I am saying this, I tremble, for it seems to me that a miracle is happening. How the daily occurrences can give someone seal. Behold, here is my God. He is indignant every day. For if he left his indignation even for a moment, we would have been dead. Then the world would have perished. Thus his indignation carries the world. For indignation is also at work in carrying. The judge of heaven and earth is a just judge, because he is indignant every day. All other judges are playing a game of balancing with the world. Today they throw the ball away, the globe, with a stroke of sympathy, and tomorrow they throw it back with a stroke of antipathy. Thus they are throwing it back and forth, back and forth. After rain comes sunshine, and after the sour they invent the sweet. But God is not balancing the world. He carries it. He carries it also by indignation. Indignation and love are both carrying, and in this they are one, for they maintain him and his glory to two sides. In the rain he remembers the sunshine, and in the sour he works what is sweet. It may be a description of experience when I sing, after the sour he will give the sweet. Yet I have never understood him from just a single line of poetry. Thus we find the counterweight in another line of poetry from the Psalms. He is indignant every day. The sweet that he gives after the sour was already thought of by him long before that in his decree. Now a consolation is presented here. In the terror, the sour, he remembered the consolation, the sweet. Did I fool myself that I have tasted God's indignation while I still have not found him? If that last phrase is true, the first cannot possibly have been. For God is one and undivided. Only he who has seen him will have known his indignation. But then he also has seen God, and his soul was preserved. Yes, this God is our God. He teaches us the true service of God. For that service of God does not seek guilty people of the pulpit among the common people who out of the catastrophic eruptions composed the apparatus of the last judgment, but finds that apparatus in my sin, our daily sin, touched by his daily indignation. He teaches us about himself. Do I hear the intercession of Christ in heaven? But God is indignant every day. His energy is still present today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and is always undiminished since the day of Golgotha. For this reason, Christ intercedes before the ear of the supreme attention. For it is directly connected to Golgotha, to that hour of the forsaken Son, who pressed the sons of God before himself to heaven, in his own descending. Behold, the day of Christ's intercession in heaven, and the other day of his descending into hell. Those 2 days are always one with God, because his indignation is a daily occurrence. He is indignant every day. That means he swears every hour that Golgotha was just and necessary, good and holy. Today he still says Amen to it with all that is in him. Because of that, he himself inclines his ear to the intercession of his Son, who already in the beginning of his prayer hears the Amen from the mouth of the Father, before he says it in a human manner at the end of his prayer. If I at least would dream here of a beginning and an end, for it isn't there. For this reason, the Spirit hammers into my soul the words of eternal life, and because of this he regenerates, comforts, and draws irresistibly, for in all of this is the indignation. That is the unbroken Amen at Golgotha, which had to run its course and gain its fruit in eternity. He teaches me the time, this God, for when he is indignant every day in divine regularity, that poor word of mine, then neither his forbearance nor his common grace can last eternally. They bear the mark of the temporal within themselves. They can only work as long as the providence of God has imposed it to the deed of his governance, heaven and hell. Only in them history can find its rest, hell as he sees it, and heaven as he wants it. Indeed, he teaches me love. A God that would change his indignation or make it uncertain would wrest the foundation of Golgotha and warp its justice. He would allow love and grace to degenerate into a deceitful appearance, which would pass away. But God is indignation. Because of this, God is love. God is it. For this reason, I will remember him all the days of my life. Have I seen the flower bed? But he whom I praise for that flower bed, because of the common grace, which I have at hand as a hypothesis to work with, sees that beautiful spot of ground at the same time as the floor of paradise, which, I say this here and now, would have been here if I had not sinned, I and my father. If there is a handful of corn ripened by the sun, will I go and sing psalms about them, which I have at hand? I am allowed to sing them, for my God instructs me of the way and teaches me. But he also teaches me that he cannot see a handful without remembering all of the harvest, which I oppose as often as I sin, no, as long as I, in the complexity of everything, unclean and imperfect, am sinful. And he cannot see a handful without seeing the full harvest, by hands full, which he will prepare for himself in the day of his mighty forces. Now the sky is full of the working of heaven and the brewing of hell. The world is full of the chariots of God. With mighty chariotry untold, his host 10,000-fold, the Lord came to his nation. These chariots are not just in heaven. O man, do you not believe about hell, in the midst of which you can be seen in the eyes of God? With the phrase of, O man, do you not believe about hell, in the midst of which you can be seen? A paraphrase of what August Strindberg wrote in his play Totentanz, Dance of the Dead. Do you not believe about heaven, by which you are surrounded, in the eyes again of God? Do you not believe that? But that Christ's pure human soul then reveals something to you of its suffering. Thus Christ lived. Thus he saw, sighed, and suffered. God pressed him every day, for God's indignation was upon him every day. Repeat these words outside of Christ, and you will perish, for the world rotates and spins with you. Hell and heaven will then merge, and you will reach the fury of those that are struck unconscious by that great lie and will never again awaken to the truth. But when you see and hear these words in Christ, and when you see him in his pure humanity in the light of these words, then the old language of the church, which sees him as suffering every day, will have new sounds for you. And also, your soul will live. And with the exception of one thing, that says it all. And now, let God teach us the common daily occurrences. With less we cannot do, and more we cannot endure. Our head and hands are already more than full by them. May God teach us the daily occurrences, also in the indignation. For what is above the daily things is from the evil one, that has no enduring value. May God teach us the daily things in indignation and love, then his yes will become yes for us, and his no will be no for us, and what is above that is from the evil one. Let God teach us the daily things, but let him teach them in the man Christ Jesus, and by the preaching of the word of revelation. Without that, heaven and hell will merge with each other, and you will take courage to be infatuated at what you consider to be the indignation of God. For insanity will gladly fall in love with the one who is indignant at it, and imagines to overcome what it considers indignation. Yet he who experiences Psalm 7 verse 11 within all of Scripture, and in the light and communion of the Christ of God and people, will soon arise in amazement. Perhaps his mouth will still be silent, but his soul will say, I am in love. Now heaven and hell, love and indignation, break apart before him. Not because God, but the creature breaks apart in apostasy or reformation. May God teach us the daily things. For he who has not learned the daily occurrences hasn't learned anything yet.